Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and I am joined with Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and we are now going to be discussing the power of the jury, the responsibilities of the jury, and jury nullification, and why it is so important. We may actually have to break this up into more than one show. However, I believe this is extremely important, and everyone needs to educate themselves about this. This is how you stop tyranny from local level to state level, all the way up to federal level. So I'm going to give you an example. There is an article that was on December the 14th, 2016, posted on freedomoutpost.com, written by Daisy Luther. And it is entitled, "Court Officials Who Jailed a Veteran for Living Off the Grid Were Just Doing Their Jobs." How many times do we hear that? So this entry for Job Doing Hall of Fame, it says, quote, "What if your job meant that you had to go arrest a guy who wanted to live off the grid on his own land? What if that guy was a veteran? What if his only crime was refusing a service that he was supposed to pay for, like public water or utilities? Is it actually acceptable to go to his place, kidnap him, and hold him against his will for that?" Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this article. Please look it up on freedomoutpost.com. It was posted on December the 14th. However, this veteran, had he had a jury trial and the jury knew their rights and their responsibilities, this man would not have been able to be jailed. Would you agree with that, Eric?
I agree 100%. It's unbelievable what men and women will come to do because somebody else told them to. I mean, right. It's that simple. How can somebody do something so immoral that they would drag somebody away from their own property for doing their own thing? I mean, it just shows, and this is why we have to focus on the executioners. The order givers are not at fault. I could tell Lori to go jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. And if she does it, that's her stupidity, not mine. It is not. There is nothing anybody should do that should be in contradiction with their morals or what the right thing to do is. And that was clearly the wrong thing to do, arresting that man.
Oh, absolutely. So right before we go into what I am going to share with the people, Mike, can you please play LV1 and let's hear what this veteran had to say.
48 News at 6, I'm Elizabeth
Gentle. And I'm Mark Thornhill. Only on WFF 48, a Huntsville man fighting City Hall to stand up for the way of life he believes in.
Give people the most liberty and personal freedom that you can afford to give them without infringing on other people's rights. I just don't see how we're hurting anyone by being here.
Now, one local Huntsville man joined the military to fight for our rights, but now he says his own rights are being threatened. The city condemned Tyler Truitt's property. City filed a lawsuit calling his self-sufficient lifestyle unsafe. Truitt says he's not hurting anyone and deserves to live on the land he owns. WFF 48's Lauren Vale joins us now with his story. Lauren?
Many would call it the American dream, only owning 2 acres of land and living completely independently off of that land. The city says that's a violation of city ordinance, and officials are threatening to arrest Tyler Truitt and his girlfriend Soraya Hamar. The couple says they'd rather be arrested than leave their land.
If it's the simple things in life that matter, it perhaps doesn't get any simpler than living off the land.
So we live out here 100% off the grid, self-sustaining.
Tyler Truitt and his girlfriend Soraya have everything they need.
So I've basically made all my own utilities. I got my solar panels, I've got my rainwater collection system and stuff.
Everything that is, except the support of the city.
They said that our house is a trailer, which they say is not allowed within city limits.
City officials also took issue with Truitt's off-the-grid lifestyle.
And of course they came, they condemned our house, and they told us that if we stayed here, we were going to be arrested for trespassing on our own property. And the reason why was they said that it was unsafe living conditions because we don't have city utilities hooked up.
The former military member says he just wants the freedoms he swore he'd protect.
You know, I took an oath that I would support and defend the Constitution and the freedoms that entails, and I feel like those are really being trampled upon.
Truett is prepared to fight for his home.
There comes a point where you have to stand up for what you believe in.
No matter the cost.
They could come out here today if they wanted to and, you know, take us to jail for trespassing, if that's what they want to call it. And, you know, that'd be fine with me. You know, I'll still come back the next day and the next day because it's my home and because I live here. So, you know, where else am I supposed to go, really?
How unbelievable is that? So, with that being said, I am going to go over quite a few things, and I'm going to try to do it speedily. We will make sure that this gets on YouTube, and sources will be linked below. John Whitehead, who is a constitutional attorney, he's also an author. He is also the founder and president of the Rutherford Institute. He is author of Battlefield America and the War on the American People. And he wrote an amazing article. You can find it at the 10thAmendmentCenter.com. And it is called Not Guilty, The Power of Jury Nullification to Counteract Government Tyranny. Now, I'm not going to read the entire thing. I am going to read part of it. That is why I'm giving him credit for it. Please make sure you go and you find this article. This is what he says at the beginning of the article. How do you balance the scales of justice at a time when Americans are being tasered, tear gassed, pepper sprayed, hit with batons, shot with rubber bullets and real bullets, blasted with sound cannons, detained in cages and kennels, sized by police dogs, arrested and jailed for challenging the government's access, abuses, and power grabs? Politics will not fix a system that is broken beyond repair. No matter who sits in the White House, the shadow government will continue to call the shots behind the scenes. Relying on the courts to restore justice seems futile. Indeed, with every ruling handed down, it becomes more apparent that we live in an age of hollow justice, with government courts largely lacking in vision and scope, rendering narrow rulings focused on the letter of the law. This is true at all levels of the judiciary, but especially so in the highest court of the land, the U.S. Supreme Court, which is seemingly more concerned with establishing order and protecting government agents than upholding the rights enshrined in the Constitution. So, I am not going to read the rest of that article, but I wanted you to hear that because I want you to understand the information that Eric and I and Tom, can't wait for him to get back, that'll be great, gets back on, and all the other guests that are on here. We seek one thing, and that is to educate and to help you understand what your duties and your rights are.
So I'd like to interject one thing. John Whitehead does great work, and that's a fantastic article. There's one little problem I want to address there that he may not know or he may not want to go there. He used the word government courts. Mm-hmm. I got some news for y'all. There ain't no government court. The courts mm-hmm. are a separate branch of government. They are managed by the judicial vicar, V-I-C-A-R. Whose judicial do you think they're vicaring? And they're right online. Every city has one. Either, mm-hmm. And if you don't have a judicial vicar, you have a vicar general who basically does the same thing. And those mm-hmm. are the hands-on local court managers for the Vatican. They're bound together by the Masonic lodges, whether you all want to hear it or not. But the government, we do not have three separate equal branches of government. The courts have nothing to do with the government. Oh, they take marching orders, not from governing agencies. Those groups of state legislators and federal legislators that hand all these orders, basically hand the orders to the court, here's the law, you got to enforce it, and they're not law, they're statutes. They're just a bunch of attorneys, member of a bar. The British Accreditation Registry, which is owned by London, and all the attorneys are being told you have sovereign immunity. When you see an esquire next to someone's name, that means they are a squire. Guards, knights, squires. Hello, this is right out of the royalty of England, and once they were able to take over our currency, all the congressmen, judges, senators, and presidents knew that they had to play ball and play with the program. If they stepped out of line and tried to do the right thing, like hopefully Trump will do, that it wouldn't just be a matter of getting assassinated like Kennedy. They'll pull the plug on the economy and let the people have at. You know, I mean, they're basically being told, if you don't play ball, We're going to crash your economy, and your people will hang you by the neck until dead. And that's probably what would happen, and rightfully so, because our legislators and governors and judges and presidents are committing treason. They're operating out of two things, partially out of fear, either fear of the plug being pulled by their banker handlers, or out of fear of what's called a control file. Everybody has one. If you're in power, they don't let anybody get into office who doesn't have a control file. That means a control file is evidence that the government, usually the FBI, is holding, and against that if made public, would bring an official right down. All they have to do is throw it out to the public. Hey, you did this. You were seen with that woman cheating on your wife. Hey, you didn't pay your taxes this year. There's something that they have on almost everybody, and that's so it's out of fear. And a lot of times they can just get away with bribing people. The lower executioners, like in the state police, in New York, they're making $150,000 a year to execute these
villages. Well, not only that, we need to remember and remind, we need also remind the people, the government is not the system as what you think. We, the people, are the government. And that keeps getting lost. And until people realize that, then when they do realize that, then they realize what our duties are. I am going to be going over some documentation that is, you can get this documentation at the Fully Informed Jury Association. You can get it at www.fija.org, and you can get all these documents that I'm going to be going over. These would be helpful for you. Share them, spread them out. It wouldn't hurt for you to get the voter rolls and actually do a mailing of these documents to each person on the voter rolls, because this is not just the grand jury. This is the jurors. This is has all information about states and everything else. But this is some of the stuff you need to know. The U.S. Attorney's Manual states that prosecutors, quote, must recognize that the grand jury is an independent body whose functions include not only the investigation of crime and the initiation of criminal prosecution, but also the protection of the citizenry from unfounded criminal charges, unquote. That's the USAM Section 9-11.010. The manual recognizes that targets of investigations have the right and can, quote, request or demand the opportunity to tell the grand jury their side of the story, unquote. The Supreme Court states that the independent grand jury's purpose is not only to investigate possible criminal conduct, but to act as the protector of citizens against arbitrary and oppressive governmental action. And to perform its functions, the independent grand jury deliberates in secret and may determine alone the course of its inquiry. That's United States v. Calandra, 414 U.S. 338, 1974. An independent grand jury is also stand between the prosecutor and the accused, and to determine whether a charge is legitimate or it is dictated by malice or personal ill will. And that's Hale v. Hinkle, 201 U.S. 43, 1906. The grand jury is to protect citizens against hasty, malicious, and oppressive prosecution, and to ensure that prosecutions are not dictated by an intimidating power or by malice and personal ill will. And that's in Woodby, Georgia, 370 U.S. 375 in 1962. So that is just some of the sections of the grand jury part that you need to know. I'm not going to go over that entire part, obviously, because we have a lot to cover in a small amount of time. So what do you need to know if you are called for a jury duty? Now, this is not just grand jury. This is jury duty in and of itself as well. Don't worry, but be happy. put a smile on your face and be
Lori,
glad.
Real quick, let me give people a 15-second definition of what jury nullification is, just to condense it so they can kind of carry this as we go pick it all apart. Jury nullification occurs when a jury finds a defendant not guilty, even if the person on trial, the accused, the defendant, has actually broken the statute. Even if they did break the quote-unquote law that was passed by the attorneys in Albany or Washington, D.C., even if they were technically guilty of actually violating that statute, they can be found not guilty, and the jury can have a clear conscience doing so if the jury believes in their heart that the law was either wrong, the law itself, or that it's being wrongly applied. Lori?
Right, right. And that's one of the things. So if you're called for jury duty, you need to look at jury service as an opportunity to do good, not only for yourself, but also for others. It is your chance to help the justice system to deliver justice, and that is absolutely essential to a free society. You can do more political good as a juror than in practically any other way as a citizen. Your vote on the verdict is also a measure of public opinion on the law itself, an opinion which our lawmakers are likely to take seriously. Short of being elected to office yourself, you may never otherwise have more powerful impact on the rules we live by than you will as a trial juror. However, unless you are fully informed of your powers as a juror, you may be manipulated by less powerful players in the courtroom into delivering the verdict that they want instead of what justice would require. That is why this is written, to give you information that you are not likely to receive from attorneys or even from a judge. Justice may depend upon your being chosen to serve, so here are some words to the wise about how to make it through for dire the jury selection process. Number one, you may feel that answering some of the questions asked of you would compromise your right to privacy. If you refuse to answer them, it will probably cost you your chance to serve. Likewise, if you talk too much, especially if you admit to knowing your rights and powers as a juror, as explained below, or that you have qualms about the law itself in the case at hand, or reveal that you're bright, educated, or interested in serving. So from verdire to verdict, let your conscience be your guide. There is nothing in the United States Constitution or in any Supreme Court decision that requires jurors to take an oath to follow the law as the judge explains it, or, for that matter, authorizes the judge to instruct the jury at all. Judges provide their interpretation of the law, which means opinion. But you may also do your own thinking, and keep in mind that no juror's oath is enforceable and that you may regard all instructions as advice. Understanding the full context in which an illegal act was committed is essential to deciding whether the defendant acted rightfully or wrongly. Strict application of the law may produce a guilty verdict, but what about justice? If the jurors agree that beyond a reasonable doubt the accused did act as charged, then context becomes everything, and in reaching a verdict you can live with. Credit or blame for the verdict will go to you, so be sure to ask the judge how you can pose questions to witnesses so that you can learn the complete context should the lawyers fail to bring it out, which they habitually do. When they believe justice requires it, jurors can refuse to apply the law. Jurors have the power to consider whether the law itself is wrong, including whether it is unconstitutional or is being applied for political reasons. Is the defendant being singled out as an example in order to demonstrate government muscle? Were the defendant's constitutional rights violated during the arrest? Much of today's, quote, crime wave consist of victimless crimes, crimes against the state, or political crimes. So if you feel that a verdict of guilty would give the government too much power or help keep a bad law alive, just remember you can refuse to apply any law that violates your conscience. Prosecutors often, quote, multiply charges, so the jury will assume the defendant must be guilty of something. But one of the great mistakes a jury can make is to betray both truth and conscience by compromising. If you believe the defendant is not guilty of anything, then you vote not guilty on all counts. You cannot be punished for voting according to your conscience. Judges and their other jurors often pressure holdout jurors into abandoning their true feelings and voting with the majority to avoid the expense of a hung jury or mistrial. But you don't have to give in. Why? Because hung juries are okay. If voting your conscience could lead to a hung jury, don't worry. You're doing the responsible thing. There is no requirement that you must reach a verdict. And the jury you hang may be significant as one of a series of hung juries sending messages to the legislature that the law you're working with has problems and it is time for a change. If you want to reach a consensus, however, one possible way is to remind your fellow jurors that jurors have the power to reduce charges against the defendant, provided that the lesser included offenses exist in the law. Ask the judge to list and explain them and range of potential punishments that go with each. Finding guilt at a lower level than charged can be appropriate in cases where the defendant has indeed victimized someone, but not so seriously as the original charges would indicate. If it would be up to the judge to decide the sentence, it's within the power of the jury to find the defendant guilty of a reduced charge, which will at most entail the amount of punishment it thinks is appropriate. The jury power hopes the above information helps you to find a verdict that you believe is conscious and just, a verdict which you can therefore be proud to discuss with friends, family, legal professionals, the community, or the media, should any of them want to know what happened and how and why. So this is just some of the information. At the Fully Informed Jury Association, they have what is called a juror's handbook. It was written by Mr. Duane. He is an associate professor at Regent Law School in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He did a phenomenal job. And I'm not going to, obviously, read through this entire document. You need to get a copy of this. Share it with everybody. And the jury's, it says, did you know that you qualify for another much more powerful vote than the one which you cast on election day? This opportunity comes when you are selected for jury duty, a position of honor for over 700 years. The principle of common law jury or trial by the country was first established on June 15, 1215 at Runnymede, England, when King John signed the Magna Carta, the Great Charter of our liberties. It was created on the basis, and it was the basis of our constitutional system of justice. The jury's rights, powers, and duties. The jury's power to veto bad laws exists under our Constitution, or do they? It certainly does. At the time the Constitution was written, the definition of the term jury referred to a group of citizens empowered to judge both the law and the evidence in the case before it. Then in the February term of 1794, the Supreme Court conducted a jury trial in the case of the state of Georgia versus Brailsford. The instructions of the jury in the first jury trial before the Supreme Court of the United States illustrate the true power of the jury. Chief Justice John Jay said, quote, it is presumed that juries are the best judges of facts. It is, on the other hand, presumed that the courts are the best judges of law, but still both objects are within your power of decision. Quote, you have a right to take it upon yourselves to judge of both and to determine the law as well as the fact in controversy, unquote. So you see, in an American courtroom, there are, in a sense, 12 judges in attendance, not just one. And they are there with the power to review the law as well as the facts. Actually, the judge is only there to conduct the proceedings in an orderly fashion and maintain safety of all parties.
A referee.
He is a referee.
He is strictly a referee. I watched Judge Duran in the Shane Bennett case, and here's if you all want to take a swipe at the man and really do something that's going to have an effect, print yourself up a simple flyer that just says jury nullification occurs when the defendant is found not guilty, even if he is technically guilty of the violation charged. Pass it out at your local county or state Supreme Court building. Go down about 8:30 in the morning when the doors open on jury selection day. Just call your courthouse and say, hi, on what day is jury selection? And they'll say, oh, it'll be Tuesday and Thursday of this week. You get down there on Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30 a.m. with 100 flyers, and there'll be a line outside the door usually because the jurors get there usually kind of early and when the doors are locked. There must have been 100 people in line that day. I passed out a jury nullification flyer to every single one of the potential jurors in the Shane Bennett case and another case that was taking place. and the court had a meltdown. They conceded there was nothing they could do, you know, to me or anybody else. Everybody was walking around the courthouse with this flyer that told them about their rights to find a defendant not guilty. And Judge Duran, in his witch's robe, came off the bench and walked through the courtroom full of people about to go through jury selection. And it would look like Monty Hall from The Price is Right. He's waving his hand saying, now I know that everybody here received a flyer this morning. And regardless of what this flyer says about jury nullification, I don't even think he used the word jury nullification. He wouldn't say the word. He said, whatever you've been told, whatever you may think, you can only interpret the law as I give it to you, meaning him, the judge. And he said, if there's anybody in this courtroom full of potential jurors who cannot make that promise right now, raise your hand. So right there, he had them all thinking they were going to go to jail if they didn't do what he said. So, and that is jury tampering, and that's a felony. And they can't do that. So, and boy, they're really scared of jury nullification. I have a very good source on the inside that over 500 police departments around the nation received a memo from the FBI that said, and it didn't have any acting or enacting statement, which they usually, if they want the local police to take action on one of their memos, they'll put an acting statement in there. They didn't have that in this. They just sent out kind of a general freak-out memo that said, beware of jury nullification. This is the thing that will bring us all down. We cannot let anybody know about this. This is huge. Mm-hmm. Do anything you can to interfere with these jury nullification people, or our criminal enterprise acting as government officials is all over. So now, solution, get this word out, and we all know that the RBN listeners and the alternative media people know this already. We got to get this word, because a lot of people, a lot of those jurors, they found Shane Bennett guilty, even though Shane had done nothing to anybody. He strictly had guns in the house, similar to Tom's case, almost identical. And so they were intimidated and hoodwinked and manipulated by this corrupt judge into disregarding their conscience and disregarding the right thing and disregarding justice and finding Shane Bennett guilty. And Shane's in prison for a couple of years now. So we have to get the word to these people early. I would hit all the college, go to any college that you can think of, go to their bulletin board or their freedom group. They'll have a libertarian group. Every college has a group of conservatives or freedom-loving people. Get the word up, post it, so especially the younger minds know that jury nullification is the ultimate standard, and not what the judge dressed up as a Satanist in his black robe tells you to do. You disregard that judge. The judge has no power to bring charges. The district attorney has no power to bring charges against any juror who just simply wanted to vote their conscience, and you don't have to explain afterwards. Find the defendant not guilty and watch them go home a free person, and that's how we are the last line of defense, and it is jury nullification, both in the grand jury room and in the 12-man jury room at the trial.
With that, we will be right back after a word from our network sponsors. Please hang with us so we can continue on this discussion of your duties and responsibilities as well as your rights on jury nullification, on the grand jury, and on
by going
jury.
To publicbroadcasting.org.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Mother of the poor Richfield Messages, close the sea of tears.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. We were discussing the rights and the power of the jury and the grand jury, and I wanted to share some more information with you about that. As recently as 1972, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia said that the jury has an unreviewable and irreversible power to acquit in disregard of the instructions on the law given by the trial judge, or as the same truth was stated in an earlier decision by the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Maryland, quote, we recognize, as appellants urge, the undisputed power of the jury to acquit, even if its verdict is contrary to the law as given by the judge and contrary to the evidence. This is a power that must exist as long as we adhere to the general verdict in criminal cases, for the courts cannot search the minds of the jurors to find the basis upon which they judge. If the jury feels that the law under which the defendant is accused is unjust, or that extenuating circumstances justified the action of the accused, or for any reason which appeals to their logic of passion, the jury has the power to acquit, and the courts must abide by that decision. You as a juror, armed with the knowledge of the purpose of a jury trial and the knowledge of what your rights and powers and duties really are, can, with your single vote of not guilty, nullify or invalidate any law involved in that case. Because a jury's guilty decision must be unanimous, it takes only one vote to effectively nullify a bad act of legislature. Your one vote can hang a jury, and although it won't be an acquittal,
at least the defendant will not be convicted of violating an unjust or an unconstitutional law. The government cannot deprive anyone of liberty without your consent. Remember that, people. The government cannot deprive anyone of liberty without your consent. If you feel that the statute involved in any criminal case being tried before you is unfair, or that it infringes upon the defendant's God-given inalienable or unalienable or constitutional rights, you confirm that the offending statute is really no law at all, and is the violation of it is no crime. For no man is bound to obey an unjust command. In other words, if the defendant has disobeyed some man-made criminal statute, and the statute is unjust, the defendant has, in substance, committed no crime. Jurors having ruled then on the justice of the law involved, and finding it opposed in whole or in part to their own natural concept of what is basically right, are bound to hold for the acquittal of said defendant. It is your responsibility to insist that your vote of not guilty be respected by all other members of the jury. For you are not there as a fool merely to agree with the majority, but as a qualified judge in your right to see that justice is done. Regardless of the pressures or abuse that may be applied to you by any or all members of the jury with whom you may in good conscience disagree, you can await the reading of the verdict secure in the knowledge that you have voted your conscience and convictions and not those of someone else. So you see, as a juror, you are one of the panel of 12 judges with the responsibility of protecting all innocent Americans from unjust laws. And that is the power of the jury. And whether you are on a grand jury or whether you are on a jury in a criminal trial or even in a civil matter, the issue is, it is imperative for everyone, whether you are on the common law side, whether you are on the de facto side, it is your responsibility to know what your rights are, because I can tell you, the judges nor the prosecuting attorneys are going to tell you. How many of you realize that
they're actually going to tell you the opposite?
They will tell you the opposite. And here's the thing. How many of you realize that the constitutions of Maryland, Indiana, Oregon, Georgia currently have provisions guaranteeing the right of jurors to judge or determine the law in all criminal cases? And there has been such a massive move towards it. I would say there's probably a lot more at this point, because the information I'm looking at is from 2010.
And by the way, we just had a major victory in Oregon, where jury nullification was executed by the jury at the Bundy trial, and everybody walked.
Yes. And, you know, the jury power, you may be called upon to sit in judgment of a sincere individual being prosecuted, just like the Bundys, just like Peter Santilli, just like Tom. Even though he hasn't gotten a trial date or even been moved yet, he's still in Pennsylvania, for trying to exercise his or her rights or trying to defend the Constitution. But you need to remember that in the 1804 Samuel Chase, Supreme Court Justice and signer of the Declaration of Independence, what he said, quote, "The jury has the right to judge both the law and the facts," unquote. And also keep in mind that, quote, "either we all hang together or we most assuredly will all hang separately," unquote.
Oh, yep, that's an oldie but goodie right there. Let me, a couple of quick points on something I mentioned before. If people want to be activists and actually make a difference and not be armchair freedom fighters, because there's really no such thing. That's like the word sovereign citizen. It's an oxymoron. You can't sit around and just listen.
I know, I hate that word. I'm just like, would y'all please look this up and quit re-quoting this? This is crazy stuff.
So just like that, you cannot be an armchair freedom fighter. You got to get out and do something. Get down to the courthouse on jury selection day. pass out your jury nullification flyer. Put it in really bold print. I found that it was a huge benefit that it was in giant kind of letters and only about 10 or 12 lines long, rather than a huge thing that people have to get confused on. It was really simple to read, and they could do it quickly in 10 seconds. And it was a big help. So keep the definition simple. We'll give it once more before the night's over. do not be case specific. Do not put the names of any potential defendants who are going up on trial in there.
Right.
Because what they'll do is say that was tainting the jury pool, and they'll wipe it, and they'll bring in a whole other group of people. And so just keep it general. Give them a website to go to where people can do their own research, like FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Association. The other thing is anybody else who is going through some stuff with the courts, don't forget, if you're submitting paperwork to the witch's court, do not forget to submit a copy to the judicial vicar or the vicar and or the vicar general. And just go online and type in your diocese of whatever the nearest big city is, and you'll see there'll be a judicial vicar. There'll always be a vicar general. There'll almost always be a judicial vicar as well. The vicar general does kind of the same thing, but they like to have extra guys working because our courts are working overtime, don't you know? So make sure you send copies of all your paperwork to the vicar's office. We've been doing that. We actually had one of them get right back to somebody. The guy was having trouble getting his Social Security settlement from the surrogate court. He'd waiting 6 years. He's got 17 documented disabilities. I've seen the paperwork from Strong Memorial Hospital myself. And the court, guess what they did? They said, oh, you're disabled. We can't give you your disability because you're disabled. What would you do with the money? You'd go blow it on something. So we're giving it to Catholic Family Center. I said, oh, geez, surprise, surprise. I said, get on the phone, call Lou Sirianni, the judicial vicar for Rochester at 325-4810. I think that's his number. I got it memorized. We've had to use it so many. And the guy got, to his credit, the judicial vicar called this guy right back and said, we lost your paperwork. We didn't have it. We didn't know we had your case, blah, blah, blah. We're going to dish it back to you, and your mother is going to be the kind of, I mean, it was, and this guy's well of age. He's not disabled enough to take care of his own money. He can clearly handle his finances. I mean, he's physically disabled. He just needs to get his money from the government that he applied for, and he actually has the documented disabilities. He's not a scammer. And what did they do? They gave it to the vicar's office. So call the vicar, and we stirred up, and guess what? It looks like he's going to get his money sometime in the next few months. Okay, so there's a happy ending there. So don't tell me, folks, that this vicar thing is a conspiracy or some kind of waste of time, because I can prove otherwise and get affidavits. There's just no question. So be specific and do not be specific in your jury nullification flyers, and make sure all your paperwork goes to the vicar's office as well, because once again, that's the guy who manages the courts, the judicial vicar and the vicar general. They work for the archbishop, okay, in case anybody doesn't know who they answer to. They're not some kind of independent gang. This is part of the Vatican banking establishment, and it needs to have local hands-on managers, and they're called vicars, okay? So and look it up in the dictionary, look it up online, include them in your paperwork, get the jury nullification flyers handed out, no more armchair freedom fighters, and Lori, I'll dish it back to you.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we need to remember that, and, you know, it's really important that people understand. Now, this is not meaning that you go into a courtroom and you just start saying, you know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. You really need to judge the law. You need to judge what's going on there. You really need to do that. Do it seriously. Don't do it, you know, just going in and saying, well, I'm going to do this.
Well, look what happened in Bundy in Oregon. They walked, I mean, nobody, there's no jurors getting arrested or having cases opened against them by the attorney. I mean, they are immune.
And, well, yes, they're immune. But, you know, there are certain responsibilities people need to understand. I would highly recommend that you go to www.fija.org. Get these documents. Get these handbooks out. If you can make copies and get these out to neighbors. Get these out to people who are on the voter registration list, because they're the ones that are pulled for juries these days as jurors. And I can tell you that the judges do not want the jury foremen. They don't want the jurors knowing their rights, their powers, and their duties. And this document for the juror's handbook is excellent. It's only 14 pages, everybody. It's not that long in order to print it off, but it's very informative. It goes all the way back to the 1700s. We'll explain all of it to you. And it fully informs you so that you can actually protect the people. That's truly the last barrier between the quote-unquote state and the quote-unquote federal government is the jury. Now, one of the problems we also know is a lot of people are doing plea bargains these days. I believe that it's, if I remember my numbers correctly, approximately 98% of people, or maybe even a little bit higher, take plea bargains these days because of, you know, they don't claim it's threat, duress, and coercion, but the reality is it is because they're threatened with a lot longer period of time if they don't take this plea bargain. Well, if you say you did this, we'll charge you with this and you'll get less time. And so that is threat, duress, and coercion. It's a threat of a lot more time, and they are not getting the proper jury trials that they need to be getting because they're getting scared before they get there because, of course, you have these attorneys who are not really truly representing their clients, or I should say the individuals that they're supposed to be representing. Their client, if you will, is the person who pays their paycheck, which is, of course, the state. So that is where your problem lies in one of those. So with all of that being said, what is the power of the jury? You can nullify laws as well as refuse to put people in jail for victimless crimes. We have approximately 2.5 million individuals sitting in the prisons today inside the United States of America. And I do not know how many are victimless crimes, but I know there's a massive amount. And if the juries had known this, or if that had happened and everybody was informed, do you think we would have such a massive prison population?
It's the great majority of the cases are victimless offenses. I'm even trying to get away from the term victimless crimes. Because if there's no victim, once again, it's an oxymoron like sovereign citizen. If there's no victim, there's no crime. Victimless
right.
act really is what
right.
it is, yeah.
It's a victimless act. And then the ones who actually turn into the victim are the ones who are thrown in jail for not doing anything against anybody. And so we have a caller. Tom, welcome to the show. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, yeah, now you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you now. How are you doing this evening?
Sure. Fine.
Good.
Several years ago, I worked with a group. We operated what's called Family Rights Radio. I worked with Eddie Andrews and P.J. Stewart, some others,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with the courts that are the family courts, Child Protective Services, and I didn't know if you were going to kind of touch in that area. Well, you don't have a jury, you have a judge who's acting as the jury.
Yes, yes, that's actually, Eric, do you want to touch base on that? Really, you should have a jury, period. And you should have a way to do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really tough because, you know, you're up, they're creating their own, basically, once again, an independent tribunal. Is what it is, and there's not even a panel of three like you get in the military at a court martial. You get a couple of guys up there. I mean, it's one, and judge, like your caller said, can make the decision that will, and it usually does destroy people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who the New York State Supreme Court? Well, not the New York State Supreme Court, the surrogate court in Schoharie County, New York, is appointing after they seize children from Child Protective Services. By the way, the woman who's the head of the CPS is married to the guy who's the chief of police. So she brings mm-hmm. forward cases to him, and he takes them off and acts on them. They build a case together. They seize the children. It gets into the surrogate court, as your caller was saying, with no jury and not even a panel of judges, like on an appeals. One judge, and in this case it was, I believe, Judge Bartlett. And guess who he appointed to, quote-unquote, examine the children that were seized by CPS away from their parents, sometimes just because the parents didn't have proper paperwork in order with, or, you know, not enough toilet paper in the house on an inspection. I mean, really, really minor things. No abuse, no reports from any doctors indicating any abuse. And guess who got appointed by Judge Bartlett to examine the children once they were taken away from the parents? Mm-hmm. Anybody want to guess? Catholic Family Charities, the mm-hmm. Vicar's Office. Okay, and guess who manages the largest pedophile network, the Catholic Pharisee Priest pedophile network? The Vicar General. It's the Vatican. So this is how they not only seize money and assets, they incarcerate people to gain command and control and profit, and put profit in the people who own the stock of the prison building corporations. And most of the judges and police's pension are invested in the prison companies and the companies that supply them, the Wacken Huts, the American prison corporations. These are big business. So it always goes back to the Vicar General. So in that case, what do? You just try to exercise, file documents that require a jury trial, and they're going to blow right over it. I'll tell you, don't get your hopes up.
Well, plus you can also remember this, Eric. Also remember historically, you can also file a habeas because that has produced the body. You can also file a habeas in the historical record. There was a case where a girl was held by one of the family members, and they would not let her go back to the family. This is before CPS ever existed. This is way, 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 way back in the day. I can't remember the name of the case. I will try to pull that information up for a different day. But this specific case, they did a writ of habeas corpus for that girl and took it to another judge, and the judge forced the other family members to let her go and to bring her back. So it can be done. There's just a lot of things that, you know, you have to do, and sometimes you have to go around it like doing a writ of habeas for them.
Yeah, and once again, none of these are a panacea or are going to be a guaranteed to work. So we're not mm-hmm. giving legal advice here. We're just telling you what we've done. And certain things, I mean, the courts are tough. I've watched Judge Doyle in the New York State Supreme Court here in Rochester issue a ruling and then violate his own written ruling. No joke, overtly. And so when you have stuff like that going on, you can have the best paperwork, and they're going to bury it. They held Tammy Stroud in a psychiatric ward, and she's a level-headed, clear-thinking, good old patriot like us. They locked her up mm-hmm. in a psych ward because she had no family in the state and kept her there for 6 months, even though a habeas corpus was filed, and it was a really good habeas corpus. Whoever did it was one of her neighbors. It was either some kind of attorney or a paralegal, and it was good. They did their best to get her out. And what did they do? They buried the habeas corpus at the bottom of the pile. So once again, if you had 20 or 30 habeases coming in, that would make a difference, and that would have got her out, saved her 6 months of torture in a psychiatric institute in Hartford, Connecticut. So mm-hmm. to people, when we say do a habeas corpus split, it's really important. People's lives depend upon it. All you have to do is go online. We have one up for Pete Santilli up there. I think you can download it. It's in a PDF file. Just sign your name to it. And by the way, if you're going to write a habeas, it better have some teeth in it. Remedy. Mm-hmm. If you a failure to honor this habeas corpus within 5 days of its tender is trespass. Trespass requires remedy. One silver dollar per second for trespass duration. Real simple. Don't go on and on and on with 2 inches thick of paperwork and think that your great paperwork is going to get you in and out of the witch's court. They're going to honor it, and you're going to get your Sestu Trust and have millions of dollars, and you're going to go free. Activism trumps paperwork every time. Best paperwork with no activism, you're screwed. You can have shitty paperwork. I'm sorry, Lori. And if you have tons of activism, you'll walk. You'll get that person to walk. So your voice matters. Emails to the vicar's office. Even if it's a small case. I'm working one right now. It's a relatively minor charge, but they're just trying to destroy the life of a young black man in Orange County, and we can go into that whole story later. But, Lori, back to you. Remember, jury nullification flyers on jury selection day at mm-hmm. your county, at your local courthouse. Get down there on jury selection day early so you can pass mm-hmm. them out when people are in line out front. Because once you start walking around the courthouse, you can do that, but it's a little more hassle.
Right, right. And not only that, remember that, you know, like Eric said, we're not giving legal advice. We're telling you what we have done with different situations. We're telling you what we have found in research in Supreme Court cases and in different things like that. And I do know that John Whitehead, he wrote a book that is called Battlefield America, The War on the American People. He says nullify everything, nullify court cases, nullify the laws, nullify everything the government does that is illegitimate and or blatantly unconstitutional. Now, I understand what you're saying about those courts, but there's also, you need to remember, you need to dig into bonds of those judges that are sitting on their seats. A lot of times, they don't have a bond, and they have to. A lot of times, they don't have their oaths filed, which means they've vacated that seat, and they're sitting as just a person and not a judge in there. There's a lot of ways to check and do things. You also need to check, if it has to do with CPS, you need to check their bylaws, depending on the state. It depends on the power that they have. Some CPS agencies will take children out of the home when they don't, when they're not even legally allowed to do so in that state, that it has to be a judge or a law enforcement officer that does so, and it has to be issued by a judge. I've dealt with situations like that as well and heard of situations like that as well. And
yeah, Lori, that's very important that you mentioned the oath and bond. We just had a judge have to recuse himself from a local code enforcement case. Yeah, he had to walk off the case because we submitted a piece of paper that said motion for dismissal with prejudice. And we said, upon further investigation with the county clerk's office, Mr. James Ames, operating as a town judge in five towns in upstate New York, hasn't had an oath or a bond since 2013. What's an oath or a bond, Eric the Freedom Screamer? An oath and a bond is required, at least in New York, under Public Officers Law 30.1.H. It says all public officers must file an oath, which is their oath that they take when they're sworn into office, and a bond, which is an insurance policy against them being corrupt. Wouldn't want to have that. And within 30 days of the beginning of their term, so whenever they're sworn in, they got a month, okay? Or else the position is vacant. So for three years,
and
Judge
if it's
Haynes,
vacant and they're doing things, you can not only go after their bond, you can also report that to the
if
FBI.
If they do have a bond,
241. So
one thing
that
find out who their bonding agent is and send in complaints. They'll get fired.
Right.
One thing that was effective with the cases that I was involved in was publicity. Please check out some of the stories on familyversusstate.com.
Okay, we will do that. Thank you for calling in this evening. I hate to cut you short, but tonight it is the end of our show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope you will join us again tomorrow night. And God bless you. As always, watch your backs, check your facts. Please send a donation to Tom, as he does need your help. And let's get those calls going to the Federal Detention Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and find out why his medications are not being given to him. Thank you. God bless you. As always, watch your backs and check your facts.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.